aunque no quiera.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Hey, 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 welcome everybody. Welcome to Out and About. I am your host, Mabe, and you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM, also streaming from kyrs.org. And I am so excited about today's show. Now, I know I say that a lot because, I do get excited. I mean, yes, I get excited about shows, but today I'm really excited because I've got my friend David here with me. Hey. And David Bullis. And you have known David as an actor, a writer, a director, a teacher, a lovely human being that is just so wonderful to be with. And now David is the artistic director of Stage Left. Welcome, David.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for such a hype job. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's all true. It's easy to do. I have one of the things I've been doing, David, I should have told you about this beforehand.
Love it. No, this is great.
That I do a little reading from the book of On Tyranny. I don't know if you ever read this book. By Timothy Snyder. It was written during the first Trump administration, and it was kind of like things to look out for. Well, those things have already happened. Yeah. So, but they're kind of good from a retrospective. So here, and what I do is I cue this music, which I think is really good. And it gives me about a minute of doing this here.
All right. No, I'm ready for this.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. On Tyranny, Timothy Snyder. 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. Number 11. Investigate. Figure things out for yourself. Spend more time with long articles. Subsidize investigative journalism by subscribing to print media. Realize that some of what is on the internet is there to harm you. Learn about sites that investigate propaganda campaigns, some of which may come from abroad. Take responsible for what you communicate with others. All right, that's pretty simple. But just a couple things to kind of flesh it out a little bit. In this chapter, Snyder says that in the 2016 election, that canvassers who rang doorbells encountered people who were surprised when their false two-dimensional social media worldview collided with flesh and blood people. These people who rang their doors to tell them a truth that they never knew. All right. And what I like about that this one, David, today, is that I think the same thing happens in the theater, that we have flesh and blood people telling us a truth that you can watch TV, you can watch TikTok, but when people are up there performing and you see them and risking, you know, on the verge of disaster sometimes to pull off something beautiful, to me that is so moving and so transformative.
Yes. There is something innately beautiful about what theater does that invites you as an audience to come in, sit down amongst people you probably don't know. I mean, you certainly don't know all of them. And then depending on what the story is, make you feel complicit.
Right.
So that you won't, and of course, you won't be rude. You're not going to get up and leave.
No.
So you're not going to talk either. Like when you're watching a TV show, you can pause it or start talking and then rewind. What did we miss? But you can't do that with a play. You're forced to sit there and take it in. and then wrestle with it in an almost Hebraic form of storytelling that's just not joking around. I mean, talk about investigating.
Yeah, it is. And I think when you have people up there who, you know, there's no second take. There's no, let's try a better shot of this. Or let me try something different in the delivery of this line. All that stuff is going to happen. And it just happens in front of you. And it's every night, it's a little bit different. Things hit different with different people at different times. As an actor, you feel like you are going to, there's something different in the air each night that you pull different things out. And some of that's from the response of the audience. And it's a real conversation with the audience. It's just like people knocking on a doorbell. That was a big thing for marriage equality that changed people's minds, was actually meeting people and people telling them their stories. You know, it wasn't this abstract academic exercise anymore.
That's right. It's all about the stories, right? And the community stories. We're seeing it in our own foundational newspaper in Spokane with Spokesman Review going to tell the community's story.
Yes.
And not just be a community newspaper, but the community's newspaper.
Right.
There's like this hunger to be a part of the story. And, you know, that is truly why I'm so passionate about new works.
Yeah. And okay, let's just dive right into this, David. So, you know, I was on the Stage Left board for, I think like 4 years or something, a long time. And, you know, one of the things that we were always trying to do as a theater that was reflective of our mission statement was to create an equitable and a diverse and inclusive atmosphere. And we really wanted a person of color to be our artistic director from the get-go. And then, you know, eventually it fell into this three-legged, what do you call it? Not a triumvirate, but a tri-leadership model.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that was something that happened too a little bit later on. But, you know, you were just always like, as far as like fit the bill for that, as far as, you know, respecting the community, as far as, you know, your leadership and your academic strength and your pure talent too. And so when it happened, when you became the artistic director, I almost felt like the lunar module had landed, you know? I was so happy.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that a lot. I mean, as a last born, it's an interesting thing to be asked to be a leader. Mm-hmm. I don't take it in any small way.
No.
To be a part of shaping the future of art in Spokane, you know, you're going to hear me say it so many times, it'll be nauseating, but I truly believe that Spokane is not just a place where good art tours, that it's where great art begins.
Yeah.
And that people can say, where in Washington is there great art? And they're always going to say Seattle, but I'd love for Spokane to be in the same breath.
Yeah.
And, I've been working since I got out of college in 2016, so about 9 years, trying to find where I fit in the community, not just as somebody who can produce art and be a part of a project, but I love to help things flourish and change. Yeah. I love change.
Yeah,
I think it's inevitable, and being prepared to grasp that is so fun.
Well, you know, when you see change, especially looking back on your 9 years, I would imagine maybe there is some sort of vector that you can kind of suss out of that. Not maybe for yourself as far as development, but also for the city and the region. Have you seen the region change much over those last 9 years as far as performances and arts wise?
Definitely. You know, as somebody who's born and bred Spokane, I've lived here my whole life. I'm 36. So I have watched a lot of things happen in just 36 years. And then I have a unique perspective as a kid from poverty that's made my way up to a master's degree level. Mm-hmm. And I look around and I remember when people first started moving up here from the West Side and from California, and you had all these people need to learn how to drive and da 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 da. Yeah. And you know, whatever. In the arts field, there's just more of a culture of appreciating the arts in the West Side and in California,
yeah,
that have come in and excited people. And not to say that there hasn't been a deep appreciation for art here, because look around us.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a call for really a more diverse showing of that. And by diverse, I mean not just, you know, not just race, not just gender, not just this. I mean, diversity of voices.
Yeah.
Multiple people coming in with ideas, different generations. We love the multi-generational touch. And also a willingness to engage with things that are not established. You know, it's one thing to do Tennessee Williams. It's one thing to do William Shakespeare. Everybody knows that. But then it's another thing to be like, who are you? You're here and you've written this? Yeah, we're interested.
Yeah.
And we want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
And I've experienced that as a playwright myself, where the theater took a chance on my words.
Yes.
And that was really humbling.
Yeah,
and
the Minimum Wage was a great show. And it was
terrifying, yeah, you know, to know that every word on that stage was something that I had written.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things the actors kept saying was like, it's so clear you love Spokane in this.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't talk garbage about it at all.
No.
Like, no, this is my home. And I think, and maybe it's just the circle that I'm around, but I think there's like a pride of living here.
Yes.
That I feel like I'm so connected to. And I didn't feel that so much when I was younger. And maybe I was outside of the sphere of people who were that way because I was working so hard to change my existence. But I think there's a swell of excitement for what this community has to offer, and a swell of support for what this community has to offer.
Yeah.
And especially right now, as we're seeing, okay, yeah, grant funding's a little harder to find.
Right.
And in some cases I've seen like the Seven Devils playwriting foundry, where they had a $25,000 grant that then has been cut because of, you know, 045.
Yeah.
And now they're like emergency fundraising to get that. That's not uncommon and that's terrifying. But as somebody who's in a tri-leadership at a nonprofit here, I do feel like there's a trust fall that we can have with the community, and the hands are going to be there.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and Stage Left has just come off of 3 weeks of new works by women playwrights.
Oh yeah,
and I would assume those were all really well received.
All of them were sold out.
Yeah,
every night.
Every night,
people wanted to see it. It was unique. There were stories that touch on different things. We had sci-fi on stage. We had a story that's particularly talking about things that people may not want to talk about right now.
Yeah.
In boxes. You were in that. And it was magnificent. Yeah. And then a local musical. I mean, when do you see something that is like that? I mean, that is just, you know, I think it's just so important to remind people you don't have to go so far to find something that's going to touch you.
Yeah. And you know, and I think we've talked about this before, about your being in Passover, which was, was that 2 years ago?
Oh gosh, 2022, I think is that when it
long?
Opened.
Oh my gosh. So 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, Passover took, you know, state awards, regional awards, national, it just swept like national awards for community theater. And now you've been stage left has been asked to produce it and to represent the United States.
That's true. In Monaco.
In Monaco, yeah.
Mondial du Théâtre, which is kind of unbelievable to me. I mean, you know, so many people told me as an artist when I changed my major, yeah. They said, well, you're going to have to move.
What was your original major?
Education.
Okay.
Yeah, I was studying education and particularly English and history. And I switched over and people are like, you're going to have to move. You're going to go to Seattle or Chicago if you want to make a living with art. And I don't want to make a living with art. I want to make art my life.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you know, through art, I've been able to make my living that way and travel internationally, apparently.
Yeah.
And it's pretty incredible to have that opportunity to tell the world, you want to see great art, come to Spokane, Washington, come to Stage Left Theater that's been around for 13 years with 60 seats that started from the dream of a handful of incredible people who had the vision to see where it could be now.
And it is so funny, too, because how often do you run into people that you talk about a play like, I was so high on Ride the Cyclone I will recommend plays, but this one I was just telling people, if you don't see this, you're going to regret it. And you won't know that, I suppose, unless you see it, but... And sure enough, the people I told who went were just jazzed, but so many of those people were stage left theater. Where's that?
Right.
You know, I think, you know, it's usually people just know about the Civic Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, stage left has been really innovative, and it's a small space. You know, every seat's a good seat. That's for sure.
It's true.
You know,
and we do... We do work that it's exciting to go to a small space and see what can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what made Cyclone so wild. That's such a big musical.
It is.
And I remember the first time the Stage Left did a musical and people were like, how are they going to do that?
Yes.
You know, and how's he going to fit in there? And I'm like, y'all, you know, you could fit anything anywhere. You just got to... You know, got to be brave.
And that show was so joy. It was a dark plot, but it was so joyful to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was joyful. And a lot of that was on the performers were so full of joy.
It was joyful in the way that Pee-wee's Big Adventure was joyful.
It was,
you know?
Yeah.
It gave me those same feelings that I had.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It was very Playhouse-esque. So let's talk a little bit about we only have a couple minutes and then we're going to, I want to dive into talking about how you got your metamorphosis into this role, but also, you know, before we do break for our 20 minute break, why don't we tell people about some things that are going on at Stage Left and how they can participate.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, first off, we start on rehearsals with Top Dog Underdog by Suzanne Laurie Parks here tonight, actually, that is an incredible play. I remember reading it in college and being like, if I ever have a chance to see this or be near this, I must be. It's an incredible play, two-man show. That is, again, something you'll never forget seeing. The original production was on Steppenwolf with Jeffrey Wright and Don Cheadle.
Wow.
And, you know, hello. I mean, whoa. Yeah. If you're interested in getting involved at Stage Left, the next show we're doing after Top Dog Underdog is Julius Caesar. The auditions for that are June 8th and 9th. At the Hive. So you would just want to go to our website, which is stageleftheater.org, and find that. And Top Dog Underdog, by the way, is also brought to you by the creative minds that did pass over. So Malcolm Pellis is directing this show.
Yeah.
I'll announce here. Matt Slater is in this play.
Nice.
He was in Passover. And Sean Gardner is also in the play.
Two lovely humans. Yeah.
Yeah. And Julius Caesar is directed by Chelsea Duvall. Yeah,
that's going to be amazing.
You know, and a fresh take on Julius Caesar. This is, you know, all female, femme-presenting non-binary actors taking place in a women's prison.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it'll be incredible. Now, is there... there's a gala coming up.
Yeah, there is.
Is that sold out yet, or is it?
It's approaching. It's knocking on the door. So yeah. We have a season 13 announcement gala coming up May 14th. This is next week, and you know it's stage left. So we're going to put on a show. We're bringing in some people from last season to be a part of announcing the shows all night long.
And so some music.
There's going to be some words read to you, and there's going to be food, there's going to be things to auction on. I'm going to dress snazzy.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just going to be a great night of fun and enjoyment at the Hamilton Studios. Tickets are $75. There's VIP tickets for $100. If you happen to want to sponsor a VIP table, that's $600, but it gets you, you know, four seats plus a pile of goodies. It's going to be a great night. And as in my first thing, really, as artistic director,
I'm so excited for that.
You know, this is my first season I've chosen. So I can't wait to share it with you.
I'm so stoked.
I say I've chosen, me and the team.
Right.
Kearney Jordan Olson, who is my managing director, and James Lancidell, who's the technical director. And we'll get more into that later.
Sure. Yeah. We'll talk about that and kind of the structure and how that works. And Sarah and I are going to be there. VIP tickets.
Oh yeah.
And I've got a couple pieces if anybody's interested in, I donated a couple pieces of art that people are interested in bidding on those too. So to help out Stage Left, but we're going to break for our 20-minute after the hour stuff. The time is just flying so quickly here. And then we're going to come back and we're going to take a deep dive into what it means to be an artistic director David's perspective. All right, here we go. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai, Sunrise, Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Edition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org. Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane, a liberal religious community supporting ideals of social justice, environmental stewardship, and freedom of thought for persons of all ages, races, ethnicities, and sexual preferences. The church offers two Sunday services as well as children and youth programs. Information is at uuspokane.org or by calling 509-325-6383. Support for Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart.
Hey, this is DJ Downlow from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
The National Runaway Safeline is a communication system managed by the Safe Place Network as a resource for runaway and homeless youth, teens in crisis, and their families. It is confidential, anonymous, non-judgmental, and free. The hotline number is 1-800-RUNAWAY. Calls are answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Hey there, folks. Join me for a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week, I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition, Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
Okay, we are back. We are back. And I'm Maeve. You're listening to Out and About on KYRS, and I am talking to my friend David Bullis, who is now the artistic director of Stage Left Theater. Now, David, what is an artistic director in the theater sense? What is your job?
Yeah, so artistic director in the strict, you know, dialect of the job description, right, is the person who's in charge of the artistic vision of the theater, and kind of making sure that it's moving alongside the mission statement. And I mean, that's, you know, working with the board and working with making friends and making sponsors and making connections and all of those things. And all of that's true. But of course, it's me, so I would define it differently.
Yes.
I would say that my job is to empower, my job is to listen, and my job is to follow through. And I adore any opportunity where I can look somebody in the eyes that I had a conversation with 5-6 years ago, where I said, if I'm ever in a position to give you an opportunity, it will happen. You'll get a phone call one of these days.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I love to do. And with Spokane Playwrights Laboratory, I was able to be a part of doing that. And now I get to empower people to do the, you know, how many people approach you and say, how do you get a chance to direct?
Right.
I've always wanted to do that, and I don't know how. And I get to have that vision, which is really carrying on the legacy of what the leaders before me, Alana Shepherd, Jeremy Whittington, Wes Dietrich, Tia Woolley, Bob Nelson, these people who had the vision to create something that I get to join.
Yeah.
And say, how do you direct? Well, I have a mentor program. And so you're going to be you're going to be the assistant director on this show, and you're going to learn things, and then we're going to sit and talk, and I want to know what your philosophy is.
Yeah.
And that's something that carries across all positions, you know. Many people like to theorize about leadership, and for me, leadership is, you know, you might think, oh, if it's a ship, you know, on the ocean,
right.
not the Titanic, but something else.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the one, you know, steering the wheel or the captain of the ship. And I say, no. I'm in the bowels of the ship, shoveling coal into it.
Yeah.
While it's moving along, you know.
Right.
And so the artistic director is patience, is hearing the call of the community. What is it that people want to hear? How do I find a way to do that? Being ahead of how I perceive trends to be, which, you know, for example, I mean, we're on a nonprofit organization right now on the air. And, you know, there were so many grants that popped up as a result of the pandemic. And now they're not there. And so, all right, what's the future of nonprofit then? As it always has been, relationships. Okay. Then let's go find relationships.
Yeah.
Let's go find people who see things the same way we do or not.
Yeah.
And see how we can work together anyways. And making good on that, you know?
Right.
And of course, I love minimalism.
Yeah.
As a general rule, in terms of my kind of artistic love, I love doing less better. And new works. I'm so passionate about new works. And by that, of course, I mean plays written now.
Yeah.
Telling stories now. And whether or not they're necessarily based in right now, it's that it was written from somebody who's living right now that we can bring to see their show come to life and say, we're here to celebrate you.
Do you have a sense, like, if you could go back, let's say, 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and look forward 2 years from now, what would be the... Do you know what the differences would be, kind of, in when somebody comes to the theater, what they might notice different about your vision being implemented from the seats? Would they be able to, or just what's being presented, or the manifestation of that?
You know, I think if I were to say two, three years from now, what will somebody take in? You will see a diversity of voices. Mm-hmm. You'll see works that you can't Google.
Yeah.
You'll see shows where we say, hey, the playwright's in the house right beside you.
Yeah.
And, you know, furthering those local partnerships in terms of our, say, what's in our concessions, that we say, hey, try this local craft thing.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. I think there's going to be a sense of that Cheers phenomenon in a few years where you walk into that theater and you're like, oh, everybody knows my name. Oh, I belong here. And not just in a, it's in the mission statement, so of course I belong here kind of way, but in a, you know, when people came to my mom's house in the 90s.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, I actually, not only do I feel like I belong here, I could fall asleep on the couch.
Well, and you know, and that's sort of your personality that I think you bring to it too, is that I think you're a person that really wants people, there's a real sense of hospitality in what you do, and there's a sense of support and welcoming just inherent in who you are. And I know that as a performer, and as a board member,
thank you,
and all, and every manifestation that we've ever, you know, dealt with each other and things,
You know, and I will say this too, there is one thing about the way that, because of the way that theaters run inherently, that things are moving so fast, decisions are made, nobody really knows, like, oh, how did that happen, or how did this show get chosen, how did this person end up directing this show? How did that happen? You know, leadership is transparency.
Yeah.
And that there is no question. This is how. I'll tell you how. Mm-hmm. I'll sit with you and show you how.
Yeah.
One thing I look forward to working towards, and within a year, I will. I want to audition directors.
Oh, cool.
Genuinely. Yeah. Not just actors. I want to audition everyone.
Yeah.
Like, tell me your philosophy of the art and how does it fit in with what we do here?
Yeah.
And I'm so curious to see, because I'm a firm believer that if you can't describe, then you can't explain what you're doing, you might cause harm.
Uh-huh.
And so you must know.
Yeah. I you know, that's a thing too that I think is really... You're a directive person, and I like that. I like there are expectations, and there's also a vision, which is good. Now, this new three people leading the theater. Now, I think people should know too is that your position is technically a volunteer position too.
That's right.
As is the technical and the managing directors. With a stipend attached to it, but could you explain a little bit about what the technical director does, and then what the managing director does, and how you interface with that?
Absolutely. So technical director. I mean, James Lancidell is doing, you know, getting the teams together. Okay, we need a lighting designer. We need a props designer. We need our costume person. And working with them and overseeing the production from that technical end. How are we going to make the vision come to life? And also genuinely supporting everybody along the way. You know, the vision, of course, is that a technical director isn't necessarily working and building and doing that on every single show. Right now, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a big fan of self-care, and I'm a big fan of saying, okay, we take care of ourselves,
yeah,
and our family, and then we get to play make-believe.
Right.
And so, you know, the technical director position is really making sure things are moving, and the building is secure and the people within it know what they're doing and they have deadlines and they're stuck yeah. to it. Right. The managing director, you know, is more out in that front of house, working with the box office people, working with the volunteers, creating the processes so that anybody could be a volunteer and you just have to attend the training.
Right.
And then, you know, it all, supporting me in terms of like, how are we building this budget? How are we working with our sponsors? You know, this, the house management position, the managing director is in charge of that and supporting people to, kind of be the handshake inside of the theater.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. And I love being in a position where I get to support two people who have a lot to do.
Yeah. And Kearney and James have done such a bang up job. And when you go see a play and you see the set and you see the design and kind of the vision for that, you know, that's going to be James largely. I know he's also in the process of helping people learn how to do this and teaching.
Yeah.
And Kearney has done such a bang up job as far as just the way things look and the interactions and done, you know, our volunteers, or I say ours, because I'm not on the board anymore, but Stage Left's volunteers are really a phenomenal group of people that, make a big difference too,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You know, the nature of things and taking over kind of in the middle of season 12
yeah.
and hopping in when we have 3 weeks before this new work showcase opened, we really had to hit the ground and run fast.
Yeah.
And there really could not, I mean, you know, James had been in the position for a while. And then Kearney and I have really only been in it for about 30 days.
Yeah.
And so you hop in and you're like, okay, you know, it's like picking up cooking after your child is cooking and they walk away and you're like, the mac and cheese is boiling. Okay. Yeah, let me just get right. this. Let's get the strainer. Yeah. It's over here, you know? And it really, I mean, I think it makes you kind of feel a little alive. But it's been crazy. And the three of us are like, all right, we're finding our footing and we are excited to be even more prepared in the process.
Yeah.
But people were coming to the New Work Showcase and, you know, grabbing me and saying to all three of us, it feels different already.
Yeah. And it makes me really happy to hear that. And I just think about, you know, Jeremy Whittington, who was the artistic director for such a long time through COVID and you know, he left. This was his plan all along, to put in this time, to put somebody else in there and to form this three-person leadership model. And, you know, he's gone off to work for Spokane Arts. And I hope he's listening to this, because I just think he's got to be so proud. And so what a stroke of genius, and yeah. kudos to what he did and to fulfill that vision. And then Alana stepping in there to kind of, you know, give everybody time to keep that vision going, to give everybody time to do it right and yeah. get the three people in there that were the right people. I mean, what a great team. I just don't want to be corny about it, but I really think it comes from love.
Truly.
You know, it's just pure love of, and I'm not talking about just love of the theater, but I'm talking about love of people.
Yeah. Without community, what are we? I mean, we're, you know, and we truly, truly want to add something to the community that means something to the community, not just us, not just the theater world. I mean, you know, there's, when I say I want to bring in new works, I want to bring in regional new works.
Yeah.
I want to bring in people from Seattle and people from Portland and host those playwrights here and bring non-local dollars to our small businesses and have people come over here and show everywhere else how amazing Spokane is. Like, have y'all ever smelled a lilac? Because you're about to.
Oh my goodness. I mean, boy, it is just, I when I walk down here, I walk by what used to be the Trade Winds. It's something else now, but they have, their lilacs come out super early and I just like just enveloped in it. It's just, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, Spokane, it's interesting too, because I don't feel like there's a lot of competition between different theaters. It seems like it's really cooperation and a celebration of each other's works, you know. And you also have a lot of visual artists who are involved in the theater, and I just think it's just such a fun bunch. I was so grateful that when I retired and I lost my community of my fellow firefighters, you know, that I got to be a part of this other community of people making things, beautiful things for other people, you know.
Yes.
It was a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, that was what struck me about Stage Left in the first place. When I graduated from Eastern and started looking around, okay, what theaters do I want to work at? What's going on here? At that time, it was, you know, Civic, Ignite, and Stage Left. And this is how you know, there's a God to everything, right? You know, I end up with my brother and we're walking around Northtown Mall, just walking around talking and, you know, chewing the fat. And he gets a text message from Tia Woolley, none other than, who says, "Hey, I've got a free ticket to see the show. What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm out with my brother. Yeah, we'll come see it." And we go, and it's the production called Emma. That was starring Kearney Jordan.
Wow.
At that time, it was the first show I ever saw at Stage Left, was that show. And, you know, oddly enough, I was offered to direct that day, which was kind of a weird thing. So that was cool. That's how I got entangled over there. But what struck me, I walk in and they were, I think the next week was auditions for the Leftovers Festival.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is this? And it's like, oh, this is a short form festival where people can get together for 2 days, put on a show, and then they're done. And the way that Tia was presenting it to me, she's like, "Oh yeah, this is great because like people who can't do a long-term production can just do 2 days. People," always beating herself up, "people like me who can't remember things could just come in and do this and it's fun," you know, whatever. And I thought, wow, what an incredible community to join in this. Like you had mentioned, I retired, I lose this portion of community.
Yeah.
And I can engage in kind of a low pressure way that then gets me ingratiated in such a way that I'm coming here forever.
Right.
I feel so connected with these people. And, you know, part of my vision going forward is honoring legacy. And so there are things you may see make returns.
Very cool. Now, you know, I know for boxes, there were talkbacks, and I'm assuming that was the same for all the new work stuff.
It was.
I was really struck with the folks who had in the audience who stuck around. And it was like, probably some nights half the people stuck around for to just ask questions and to make comments about the play, of how invested audience members are in the play. It's not like I said, I love movies, but it's not like a movie. They were invested and they had ideas and they had questions and wondered about choices that were made from the actors and from the directors and from the playwright. And I just think I think there are so many engaged people in Spokane that are so hungry for this kind of thing, whether they're in it or part, or just want to tell you what they think about it.
Absolutely. I the immediate access of what we can do with theater. I mean, Camille DeMoville over at SFCC speaks about, and he's the head of the theater program over at Spokane Falls Community College, speaks of the model of community theater and how it can be easy when you have a bottom line that is so present to forget that community theater is not like a Best of Broadway series. We're not necessarily focused on this. Here's the spectacle and here's this and here's that and come and see it. And
big dance numbers,
if you can do it, cool.
Yeah.
You know, great. Right. But what it's about is community and building people who are interested in being like, yo, how did I just saw you at the bakery this morning? How did you do that? You know, or I never knew you had that skill. But what if I do? I always think about you ever see Cinema Paradiso?
Yes, a long time ago.
There's this beautiful scene in that film. A couple of times actually, where they're in the cinema and they're watching and everybody's yelling and throwing things and somebody says something and the whole room erupts saying the same thing back at them. And you can tell that not only is this place a cinema within this small town, but it is the town.
Yeah.
It is a reflection of the town. It's become a part of its heartbeat. And that's what I think community theater can be.
Yeah.
It can be this place where you're like, you can move away and then come back with your kids. Cause you're like, Spokane's a great place to raise kids. I'm totally coming home. Yeah. And then go, wait, Stage Left is still here. Okay, guys, check this out. Yeah. This place is going to blow your mind. I did some work here once or whatever, you know, and being a part of that kind of an echo and ripple. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
that's what it's all about.
Well, and you know, I think we should probably, there might be listeners out there who are like, we've talked about Stage Left, but they're like, where is Stage Left
theater? Yeah. Where is it?
Because you may not notice it. It doesn't, you know, but it's, you've probably driven by it. If you've gotten on the freeway from downtown, you've driven by it a million times. Probably it's on
Third.
Yeah. It's on the north side of Third. And
we're pretty close to Dick's.
Yeah.
You know, iconic.
Yeah. Third and Brown.
It's, you know, you look at it and you go, oh, that looks small. And then you go in there and what can happen in there is pretty mind blowing. And if you have driven by and you went, oh yeah, stage length, whatever that is, I don't know. If you've ever been curious, come on down.
Yeah.
Come on down. Top Dog Underdog opens June 13th. With the team that won national awards, this play is going to touch you in ways that you'll never forget. It touched me just reading that script. I mean, I can't even imagine what's going to happen to me when I watch it.
With those two in there, and Malcolm, it's going to be.
And our great, our recent addition in costume design, Patty.
Oh, Patty, so wonderful! I love Patty.
I adore that human.
You know, Patty to me reminds me of you in a lot of ways. One of those people that I feel so much better after being with, you know, that it's just like, to be a human is a wonderful thing, you know,
and
you and Patty bring that. And yeah, I love Patty. I'll walk by her house on the way home.
I love when you can go and watch something and see somebody's art and go, that's them. I can see them in it.
Yeah.
These are the ways we kind of, you know, vaguely live forever in a sense, right? Like Michael Jordan played basketball and shot the ball a certain way. And now you can watch people still shooting the same way because they learned.
Yeah.
And they picked it up. That is something. I don't think we're measured by what we do while we're here. We're measured by how long what we did lasts without us.
Oh, that's
and how it grows without us.
Yeah.
And you know, once you take ego out of the room, there's only flourishing to exist.
I would agree. And I think that you know, especially in these times when, you know, you can doom scroll your way out of it into a panic attack. You can look at what's going on and scratch your head and say, how did we get here? And there's so much destruction of so many things that we love about our country and about our community, and so many things that are just seem to be going down the tubes destruction wise. And, you know, I always say, well, the opposite of this is not to hate them. The opposite of destruction is creation.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a small way, or maybe in a big way, Stage Left Theater brings this creation, and it's a gift. I mean, it you know, any live performance, musician, all of that, I just feel like it's such a gift that people need right now. It's a balm. I've you know, that's just for me. I feel moved every time I go to the theater. So,
You know, as somebody who used to study history as a, you know, hoping to teach it someday, at a certain point in history, we measure things strictly by the art.
Yeah.
We don't know anything else to measure it by. And it's like, oh, there's, look at this drawing.
Yeah.
Look at this.
And, you know, as much as like we look at like cabaret as kind of a reflection of Nazi Germany, I think we're going to be doing works and performing that's going to be a bright spot in a very dark time. And the humanity is going to show through, and the people who stood up for humanity versus those who surrendered to these dark forces are going to be the stories that we're going to tell.
That's right.
Yeah.
The great revolution is seeing your ability broadly to create in such a magnificent way, starting to diminish and saying, actually, watch this. You know, in the same way that a child will see a small box of five Legos and be like, check this out. This is a giraffe.
Yeah.
You know, and like, whoa.
Yeah.
Refusing to be prisoner of what is happening and saying, well, okay, yeah, this sucks. You know, as a kid who grew up in poverty, I'll tell you, you know, it sucked. But we had friends who thought that my family was rich because we had so much love for each other.
Wow. Yeah.
They were like, I didn't know you guys were poor. Well, because we're not.
Yeah.
Because money is whatever.
Right.
Money, yeah, you have to have it to run a theater. So if you want to be a sponsor, hit us up on stageleftheater.org, and that would be excellent.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
But love is all around. And you can take that with you.
Yeah.
You're going to join that energy, you know.
And you're going to leave it when you die. That's going to be about the only thing you leave behind. And on that happy note, why don't we tell people one last time how they can, you know, get tickets to the shows that are coming up, and also to the gala. And really, I think also if they wanted to support this international trip of Stage Left,
yes,
that's the thing.
Yes. Yeah. So go to Stage Left Theater. That's theater with an E-R, .org. The first thing you're going to see is the announcement about our gala. So if you want to go there, we've got 8 days to go. Secure your ticket, be on the forefront of learning what's going on. Tickets, you know, there's a highlighted button for tickets and events, and you can join there. And there's also an excitement on that front page for the Monaco trip, for Passover, to go and represent the United States of America as a small 60-seat theater representing the United States with a play like Passover that is exactly something that the United States needs to look at.
Absolutely.
And I'm amazed at the notion of getting to speak with people who are on a different continent about that.
Yeah.
And you can also just send me an email at david.stageleft@gmail.com. And my name is unique, so let me spell it for you. It's DAHVEED. @stageleft@gmail.com, and say, I want to get involved. And you know what? there's a lot of work. I'll find a place for you because I want you here. We will get to a place where people are able to work with us and not just be volunteers, not just be people getting stipends. We will get there. I promise you.
Okay.
We're not there yet. So yeah. You'll be a volunteer and you'll help us. But if you're a part of that and you help us put Legos together, we're going to have a giraffe at the end of it. I promise.
It's going to be a beautiful giraffe. I'm trying to get Alana on here too.
Yeah.
You can join her sometime and we'll talk more about some of the recent developments and how it relates to the Monaco trip. Kind of an interesting story there. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, David, so
thank
much
you.
For being here.
I just wonderful. Love you.
I love you too. And I'm so happy to be with you. And these are the shows that are so much fun for me because it's like, I have a list of questions and I asked maybe three of them because I know we're going to find more important stuff to talk about. So everybody, thanks for listening to Out and About, and I'll be back here on next Tuesday, and we'll be talking about a different art form on next Tuesday's show, and that'll be fun. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Thanks for listening, and we'll take you to our national shows right now.
Unbeknownst to nearly all of us, Commander Trump and his menagerie of macho ne'er-do-wells are quietly but rapidly pulling America once again into the big muddy. They've blundered into another forever war, dumping billions of our dollars into high-tech bombing raids against Houthi militia. Who? Houthis are tenacious guerrilla fighters in the small, impoverished nation of Yemen. Like the Viet Cong some 60 years ago, they are clever and resilient, and they're confounding arrogant White House Pentagon autocrats who keep thinking they can bomb their way to world domination. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Pete Seeger put it in his Big Muddy song, the big fool says to push on, but we don't have to obey. To push back, go to peoplesaction.org. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hi, this is Chris, and you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
Democracy Now.
I've been coming here since 8 a.m. to the Tikuya soup kitchen for food to alleviate our hunger and be able to stand up. We are suffering from famine, real famine. I have not eaten anything since this morning. I cannot speak because of hunger.
As Palestinians starve to death in Gaza, Israel's calling up tens of thousands of reservists to expand its war and reoccupy the Gaza Strip. We'll speak to the Palestinian poet Musab Abu Toha. He left Gaza with his family in December of 2023. On Monday, he won a Pulitzer Prize. He's now at Syracuse University. We'll also speak to a pediatric nurse just back from Gaza. But first, President Trump spoke at a $1.5 million a plate crypto fundraiser last night, as Senator Elizabeth Warren's calling for a federal probe over a new $2 billion Abu Dhabi-backed deal using Trump's crypto coin.
So here's the kicker. Binance and the foreign investment firm are going to use Donald Trump's stablecoin to finance their transaction, essentially giving Trump a cut of that $2 billion deal. Boy, looks like corruption, smells like corruption.
We'll speak with crypto researcher Molly White. Her recent piece, Trump's Newest Grift, Building a Cryptocurrency Empire While Destroying Its Regulators. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Yemen's Houthi movement says four people were killed and nearly 40 others wounded Monday after Israel bombed a cement factory and a port in the Red Sea city of Hodeidah. They were Israel's first strikes on Yemen in months, coming a day after Houthis fired.